You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we want to talk about. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right, and we bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple of topics prepared for you, but, you know, sometimes we'll go off the beaten path and say whatever we want to here.
That's
on this
right.
2-hour podcast filled with sports, entertainment, and odd news. We got a lot of topics to get to, especially in sports. The sports world is in full swing right now. And then we've got some interesting entertainment news to cover and, of course, wacky odd news in the third portion of our show. So lots to get to on this week's episode. But before we do, we like to do a little personal recap as to what we've been up to for the past week. So, Mike, how you doing? What's up in Costanzo country?
Costanzo country is doing well. This week, I dove into Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yes.
But we'll get to that a little bit later.
Yep.
The other big entertainment thing that I enjoyed was I finally finished Maniac.
Yes.
The Netflix limited series.
Yep.
And it was really, really good. Like, I was super surprised with how well it turned out, and I was very happy with just the overall package. I think you said in your review that you gave it, like, a solid B+.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably around the same spot, probably B+, like, A-. I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yes.
I thought the acting was great. I loved the two characters. I thought that the concept of jumping between different genres was really unique and fun. But most importantly, I just felt like it was a really solidly complete story. You know,
yeah.
you get to the end and you feel like, wow, like there's a good sense of payoff.
Yeah, it was. It's designed to be a mini series,
right?
Not a eternal show that just can keep, you know, going on and on.
Right.
And on.
And I think we've gotten so used to that in society, and especially like the really ambiguous, edgy endings where it's like, oh, will he or won't he, or did he or didn't he? This ending was, for people that like, you know, a clear ending with a nice little bow on top, this is that. Like, it was a very, it felt good. The ending.
Yes. It felt good.
Yeah. I don't want to give away anything. I don't want to say whether it was a happy ending.
It made happy.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to say whether it was a happy ending or a sad ending because I want people to go and see it themselves, but it feels good in that it's a complete ending and it makes sense, and I feel like there was a good reward and payoff for taking the journey with the characters, which is always paramount in any sort of entertainment, any sort of fiction, I think.
Yeah.
So, really enjoyed that. And that's basically, that was the main thing that I did was watch Maniac. We had a family party, you know, some other stuff going on, but that's not really pertinent.
I mean, yeah, that's what you're up to.
Yeah. But, that's what I've been keeping busy with. What about you, Rich? What have you been up to?
I went to a couple, Halloween parties.
Okay, nice.
You know, it's the spirit, you know, to do it. It's funny though. I feel like with the way Halloween landed, I feel like it landed awkwardly for everybody because it landed on like a Wednesday.
Yeah.
So I think like everybody did their parties the weekend before.
Right.
Although, I went to a dentist appointment.
Yeah.
Today.
Oh, that's fun. That's a real good time.
And the person cleaning my, my teeth, she said that she had a party to go to next weekend. I'm like, that feels off. Like,
yeah. After the fact is like, weird.
Like, especially with like the radio stations around here, like you got one more FM. They're already going to start playing Christmas music.
Oh yeah,
you know, by the end of the week. So it's like it's kind of like doesn't that kind of ruin the whole flow?
Right,
of,
like ooh, spooky, happy holidays. You know, it's just,
and then back to ooh, one last costume party. We forgot. Don't forget.
It is Yeah, this is a larger conversation, but I always think they start Christmas music way too early.
Oh, yeah.
Just in general. And I mean, CVS is already putting out lights. I'm like, whoa.
King of Prussia Mall.
I'm like, bro.
King of Prussia Mall already put out their Christmas tree.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's not even November yet.
Yeah.
We're just like, no, screw you, Halloween and Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
We're going straight to the big boy.
Right. Thanksgiving. Yeah, Thanksgiving isn't its own. Thanksgiving is now Christmas part one.
You don't really decorate for Thanksgiving, though. You don't really, like, celebrate Thanksgiving. Like,
you're supposed to.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's Christmas part one.
Christmas part one,
It's the pregame to Christmas.
It's the prequel of Christmas is
right,
what it is.
Right, exactly.
It's like, look, this is the dress rehearsal.
Yeah.
We got to prepare for...
Yeah.
For, you know, the Christmas, you know, 1.0 launch.
Yeah, we're testing to make sure you can cook the turkey.
Yeah, this is the Christmas beta test.
yeah, that's what Thanksgiving is nowadays.
It is. It's wild. I was always the type of person that's like, you don't put up lights and you don't sing Christmas songs, and you don't listen to Christmas music until the ride home from Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
That's when you turn on the radio. And when I was a kid, we would always turn on the radio, we'd count the Christmas lights and we'd sing Christmas songs. And that was like the first time that we did that season. And now it's like people are already edging towards Christmas now, and it's barely November.
Right. We're not even done Halloween.
Yeah. I don't want to sound like an old crotchety fool, but I just...
No.
It's just weird.
No, be an old crotchety fool like I am. It's great. It's a lot of fun.
Am I so out of touch?
No.
The children are wrong. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. We all got a little Seymour Skinner in us. But yeah, the holiday...
No,
I
agree
thing.
With you. It's ridiculous. You guys get sick of Christmas music? I get sick and tired of Christmas music by the time Christmas rolls around.
Here's the thing. I love Christmas music. It's great. It's fun.
It's
all catchy and all very singable, but I just don't want it that long.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Is by the time you keep starting the Christmas music this early, by the time you get to Christmas, I'm sick and tired of Christmas music.
There's only like 30 songs.
Yeah.
That they play on repeat.
And if I swear to God, I hear freaking Mariah Carey again, I'm going to throw a radio through somebody's head.
Oh, what is
it's
the song?
Going to happen.
I can't remember it.
All I Want for
All
Christmas
I
is
want
You.
All I Want for Christmas.
I hate it. I don't care. It's
right, that one?
Oh, I hate it. And they play it all the goddamn time.
I did a spoof of that for the one Christmas episode.
Yes, you did.
Oh, man. Is it going to be that time again, Rich?
Yeah, you gotta start planning the holiday special.
Dreaming up some parodies. I'm running out of songs I can sing.
Right, see, we're going through the 30 songs.
That's the problem. It's like, what can I... No, the problem is, what can I sing and make entertaining? You can't sing, like, Little Drummer Boy, you know?
Little Noodle Boy, I don't know. Here he goes.
Rum, pum, pum, pum. Do the Dwight Schrute version.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have to think about it.
Right.
Tweet at me. Hashtag, I don't know. Come up with your own this time, people.
Okay, Mike.
I can't think of a hashtag. Hashtag crispy Christmas. There you go. Crispy little Christmas.
Yes.
But yeah, so holidays. I didn't even celebrate Halloween at all this year. Like, I wasn't even like, I didn't watch any scary movies.
No. You gotta
do
that.
I didn't have any candy. I didn't do anything.
That's my favorite part of it.
Yeah.
It's funny. I think people select things they like about Halloween.
What do you mean? Isn't that like natural? What do you mean?
Yeah,
they select things they like.
It's funny because my mom was saying the other day, "Oh, Rich hates Halloween." I'm like, "What? I don't hate Halloween. It's just there's
when did that happen?
I don't know. Apparently, because I don't really like I'm like a last minute costume person. I don't plan out a costume.
Oh, there are some people that plan for months.
Right.
Like, they take it seriously.
Right. I'm the complete opposite. I'm a procrastinator. Yeah. I wait till the end. And
you're the mask from CVS type of person, aren't you?
Yeah. But then I notice there's like a dent in it and I'm like, ooh, I'm the ghost that got hit by a car on the way over here or something. I try and come up with a stupid story.
Right. You have to have the backstory.
Right. Anyway, the point is, I don't know, I'm usually busy. I don't really have enough time to plan out and come up with an elaborate costume or something.
Yeah. I'm not very crafty
and
either.
And my mom goes, oh, Rich hates Halloween. I'm like, no, I don't hate Halloween. I'm just busy. I can't come up with
You just like it in a different way.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying about people choose
and
what they
like.
And
I love Scary Movie. I'm like, this is the one time we should be watching, Scream and Halloween and...
I did watch the first episode of Haunting of Hill House. I think I told everybody that.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to continue watching it for the Halloween season, and I never got back to it. And this is my perpetual problem, is I'll watch the first episode of a series and then be like, oops.
Whoops.
I just forgot to watch the rest of it.
Yeah, so, it just happens. Yeah, Life happens. Know.
It's true. But I gotta...
So anyway, for the record, I like Halloween.
Yes. There you go. You heard it here first, folks. Rich is a fan of Halloween.
Right. I'm just bad at coming up with costumes and planning and stuff like that.
What's your favorite candy for Halloween? You're a kid. You're walking through the neighborhood. You're getting all the candy. And there's one
Am I answering this as a kid or answering this at now?
Oh, that's a good question. Why don't you do both? What was your favorite candy to get as a kid? What did you love to see get dropped into your bag? Because I know what mine
anything
is.
Anything chocolate, anything, my probably answer, Hershey bar or like a Crunch bar.
My answer is the same regardless.
Okay. No,
mine's always Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Reese's is good, yep. I agree with that.
Anything with peanut butter, you got me sold.
Yeah, Reese's is always good. As an adult now, I really love dark chocolate.
Really? Oh, oh man, you're old.
Thanks, Mike.
I feel like there's a line. I feel like there's a line where you're like,
I'm an old fool, Mike.
I feel like there's a line of like demarcation here where you're old is if you walk up to like a table with two plates and one has a beautiful Reese's peanut butter cup and one has like 60% dark cacao and you're like, ooh.
Yeah,
give me that cacao, one. You know, or whatever.
Cacao!
Isn't that what people call it?
Cacao!
Maybe I'm saying the wrong
thing. Sounds like a bird.
Cacao! Yeah. But no, that's how you know you are officially old, is when you choose the dark chocolate or Reese's peanut butter
really?
Cups.
I don't know. I just really like the taste of dark chocolate. But
is it like the slightly bitterness of it?
Yeah, it's like bitter but sweet and I don't know. It's just a good...
It's a more complex palate.
Yes. You know what it is? You're right. I'm an old fart now. And then and then you mix it with like a glass of wine. Ooh,
yeah. See, you're an old person,
right? Damn, it's happened. I'm already bred for being an old man. I love golf and game shows. Like, come on, I'm already there.
Yeah, you're like, you got 1 foot in the old person category. You're like ready to go,
ready to go.
But anyway,
so there you go. That's what we were up to this past week. Hopefully your Halloween experience was just as good as ours. But now it's time to get to the news at hand, and the first batch of topics revolve around sports. It's time for the Sports Sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face! Ha ha!
Oh, yeah. Sports coming at you in your face here in this first segment. And before we get to football news, which I know Mike is dying to.
Absolutely.
We got to talk about the end of the 2018 baseball season. Which culminated in the 2018 World Series. The Boston Red Sox, boy, man, it was just, it was an outright drudging. They defeated the Los Angeles Dodgers 4-1, winning their fourth World Series title in 14 years. This is crazy that the Red Sox have done this. I mean, growing up as a fan of baseball in the 90s, there was two universal rules. It was the Phillies always suck and the Red Sox are always cursed. And boy, man, the last 14 years have just made up for the curse of the Bambino so much.
Oh, yeah.
4 World Series titles now to this team.
It was 19, like 19 teens the last time they won before 2004,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I forget the year off the top of my head.
It was a long time, though.
But now, man, 4 titles in 14 years. I mean, we're talking Patriots territory here.
And they're perfect in World Series appearances since then.
In the 21st century, yes. So it begs the question, and I think I hinted to this last week, aren't the Red Sox the new Yankees of baseball? It's ridiculous. They're like their own crazy franchise legacy.
Well, like you said, you know, you made the point that, correctly a week or two ago when you said that they now spend the most, and I think that's the determining factor here is if they had won 4 in 14 years and you know they had a big payroll but it wasn't the most, like if they had like the 8th or 9th highest payroll, it's like, wow, that's a talented team and they're playing well and they're playing within their means, you know, and it's really a team gelling together. But when you couple the repeated success and like the dominating success with the fact that they have the highest payroll, that's when you start to edge into Yankees territory of that feeling of like, well, they can just buy one at this point.
Yeah.
Know? What's them to stop, you know, next year saying you're going to like the best player and being like, hey, we just won a World Series. You want to win one next year? We'll give you, you know, $100 million or whatever it is.
Yeah. It used to be the Yankees calling card.
Right. And now, you know, the Red Sox could wield that type of power. Will they? I don't know. But they're at that point, I think, where they could.
Yeah. I mean, 108 win season this year and now fulfilling it for the World Series title. I mean, yeah, it pretty much is the same playbook. And you pointed this out before we started recording. It really makes the postseason kind of very obvious. I mean, I predicted every single series correctly.
I got to give you props. You were flawless in picking your MLB postseason games.
Yeah.
However, while that's amazing for you personally, I think for baseball fans, it's kind of upsetting because it's just like if you know what's going to happen weeks ahead of time, why even bother watching?
Right.
Just tune in for game 4 or 5, and there you go. You got this. It's the same effect.
Yeah. So unfortunately, it does make the postseason a little bit bland.
That it's baseball and basketball are the two worst culprits. That's why hockey and football playoffs are the best.
Yes,
because any team can win at any time, and I just feel like baseball and basketball get very.
I'm glad you mentioned hockey because hockey is very much like that.
Well, because you always see teams because there's more
the Golden
there's
Knights.
More parity. Yeah, the Golden Knights
made it all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals.
A perfect example. Perfect example.
Yeah,
you would never see. What's a newer NFL team? The LA Chargers winning the Super Bowl. They're not a newer team. But
the Rams, they're undefeated right now.
Yeah. But that's good, though.
Yeah.
That's good parity for the NFL.
So, anyway, yeah, it's kind of disappointing. And speaking of disappointing, let's get to the other side of the coin flip here. The Dodgers, they make it back to the World Series, but still no World Championship. This is the second year in a row. They win the National League pennant, but they fall short in the World Series. The bigger issue, though, is kind of the fact that they don't seem to have they don't seem to have that clutch player when they need to. And the biggest culprit is their supposed pitching ace, Clayton Kershaw. His flaws during the pressure situations have really come out. I mean, he's great. He's like Peyton Manning. He's great during the season, but just sometimes when it comes to pressure, those pressure moments, he falls apart.
Well, some people have that type of mentality.
Yeah.
They can't take it.
A article pointed out, his flaws here. His ERA is 6.06 over 6 career do or die matchups, which is the worst in Major League Baseball history among pitchers with more than 5 sudden-death matchups. He's given up 8 home runs in those games, which is also the most of any MLB pitcher in history. And now he's pitched for 4 or more innings in 5 World Series games over the last 2 years, and the Dodgers lost 4 out of those 5 games. So he's not...
Wow.
It seems like he's good during the whole season. He's helping out during the postseason. And then the National League Championship Series and the World Series, he falls apart.
That's really shocking.
So it begs the question, if you're the Dodgers, what do you do? Because you're in this situation where you're good enough to own the National League.
Right.
But you just never seem to get over the top.
I think the only real thing you can do is keep working with Kershaw to try and get over this hump.
Do you go out and find more talent?
Yeah, that's the only thing you really can do. I mean, if you're suggesting, sit him during the World Series or don't start him in the playoffs or whatever.
Blow up the team or something.
Right, no, that would be insane. That'd be like prime, going back to the Peyton Manning example, benching Peyton Manning as soon as you get into the playoffs. Maybe he doesn't play that well in the playoffs, but he still gives you your best shot, even if he does choke.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to sit your best players at the same time. I think you do need to make modifications, and maybe they add another ace or maybe they add more hitting help, so that it's, not all on his shoulders. But they're really in a tough situation here because you can't not play him.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's losing 4 of these 5, do or die matchups, as you put it.
Right. And it's that awkward point.
It's damned if you do, damned if you don't, really.
Yeah, it's that you're at that awkward middle ground that many sports franchises face. It's you take either you don't take any risk and you're too complacent,
right?
And for all we know, the Dodgers go back to the World Series again next year and they lose again, and then it's like, what are they, the Bills of the NFL of Major League Baseball? Or they're going to take a risk and they do something too crazy and then they end up the Bills of last year, and they blow up a team that was a perfectly good playoff team.
Yeah, yeah. No, you
God damn it, Bills.
You don't want to blow. You don't want to blow up a team too early.
Yeah.
Yes, occasionally you want to blow up a team, but you don't want to. You don't want to jump straight to that. You want to see if you can really step back, analyze, and say, all right, what pieces do we need that could have pushed this over the edge? You know, and if you walk away from that conversation with needing more than a handful of pieces, maybe you go the blow up route. But I don't think they're at that point yet. I don't know a lot about baseball, but if you're making it to the World Series, you probably only need one or two key pieces to really push it over the edge. Am I sort of on track with that?
I would say so. Especially for baseball. Baseball tends to have a longer
you have a huge window.
Right. You have a longer window when it comes to winning a championship. I mean, if you built your core correctly, you should have, you know, a good 3 or 4 seasons.
In football, you know, there's...
Football's a lot shorter.
Oh, yeah. You know, you always talk about a 5-year plan where at the end of the 5 years, you have a 1 or 2 year window where you can get all the pieces aligned to win something. You know, that's what the Eagles happened to in last year. But in baseball, I feel like you have, like, huge windows because players stick around forever.
Yeah.
You know?
So, for all we know, the Dodgers could be right back in this for next year. But I got to admit, for right now, for L.A. fans, it seems a little frustrating. You kind of hope the second trip that they could punch it in.
Yeah.
But I guess third time's going to have to be the charm.
I think you just got to keep working. Just keep working with the guy. You know, I feel like this is something he could probably overcome with enough coaching and enough just working at it.
Yeah, or just an additional talent so that he doesn't have all the pressure on him.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. But we'll see. It could be dicey territory for the Dodgers because either, they're screwed either way. Either they don't take enough risk and they're viewed as being too lenient with the current team that they have, or they take too many risks and it's like, oh, why are you blowing up a championship team? So an interesting precipice that the Dodgers stand on.
Although you can hold on to a championship team too long, i.e. the post-World Series Phillies.
Yeah, that's right.
They kept that squad around much longer than they probably should have.
Yeah.
But.
So we'll see how the Dodgers try and play this one as we approach 2019. All right. I think, Mike, you've made it through all the baseball talk, so now it's time to get into football news, and we're going to kick it off with the two-minute drill. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right. The clock is armed, and let's go. What do you have?
All right. Well, this week in the two-minute drill, we have a lot of football news, as Rich alluded to. First off, we're going to start with the Cleveland Browns. We love giving Cleveland Browns updates here. Despite the Cleveland Browns doubling their win total from the previous two seasons combined, the front office determined it wasn't enough and fired head coach Hugh Jackson and offensive coordinator Todd Haley. Now, the Browns have been a long, struggling franchise, but this year did seem a little bit different. They had Baker Mayfield. They had two early wins in the season. They had a lot of close overtime games. But for whatever reason, they decided that now was the appropriate time to fire the head coach and the offensive coordinator. When they got a young quarterback in there and they're actually winning a handful of games and tying other games, they decide now's the moment. I don't know. Doesn't make sense to me.
I think they're 9 months too late on this move.
Yeah, you either make this at the end of last season or you wait until the end of this season. Doing it mid-season with a rookie quarterback? I don't know. It feels like you're ruining that development right there.
Yeah.
But
they should have fired him the moment he went 0-16.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Thank you. Thank you for agreeing with me.
Yeah. Well, you know what? The Cleveland Browns, another sign of their troubles that they didn't make any moves at the NFL trade deadline, even though they probably needed to. But a few big moves did happen Tuesday afternoon as the NFL trade deadline approached. First up, the Houston Texans sent a 4th and 7th round picks to the Denver Broncos for wide receiver Demaryius Thomas and a 7th rounder. This should give young Houston quarterback Deshaun Watson plenty of targets to throw to. That's going to be crucial for him in his development. But the LA Rams are another team that made a big move. They continue to improve on defense. They traded a 2019 third round pick and a 2020 fifth round pick to the Jacksonville Jaguars for former first round pick defensive end Dante Fowler. I can't believe they have, I think it's 4 former first round picks on that defensive line.
Oh yeah, it's frightening.
Absolutely stacked. And then this one is the one that upsets me, and we'll talk about it after the 2 minute drill.
There you go, it's over. Oh my god.
You know what, though? This works out because I feel like we need to break these two last trades down.
But before we do that, can I?
Sure.
Since we mentioned Cleveland.
So,
Cleveland, I'm sorry, but you guys deserve every second of this song. I'm sorry. The Browns are just a complete dysfunctional mess. They should have done this 9 months ago. I feel no pity for the Browns organization. You deserve this video.
Fun times in Cleveland again.
Still Cleveland.
Come on down to Cleveland Town, everyone. Under construction since 1868. See our river that catches on fire. It's so polluted that all our fish have AIDS. We see the sun almost three times a year. This guy has at least two DUIs. The flats look like a Scooby-Doo ghost town. Don't slow down in East Cleveland or you'll die. Our economy's based on LeBron James. Buy a house for the price of a VCR. Our main export is crippling depression. We're so retarded that we think this is art. It could be worse, though. At least we're not Detroit. We're not Detroit.
Yeah, sorry. The Browns, they deserve that every second of that.
Yeah. You know what, though? What's funny, and neither of us intended this, I don't think, but that last line is actually really relevant right now because of the recent trade that the Eagles made.
Yes.
At the trade deadline. Speaking of Detroit, they lost their number one wide receiving threat, Golden Tate, when the Eagles traded a third-round pick to the Detroit Lions in exchange for the standout wide receiver. We knew the Eagles were going to make a move. I think that was pretty certain that we knew the Eagles were going to be active.
They needed some piece of the puzzle.
Right. But here's my issue, and there's a flip side to this that I'm going to get to. My issue is that for me personally, wide receiver was like fourth on this list of needs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, running back, defensive back, offensive or defensive line, wide receiver. That's where I put wide receiver. But they went out and they got a wide receiver. I think they got him for a great price. When you look at the wide receivers around him, Amari Cooper for a first, Demaryius Thomas for a fourth. I think we paid the right price for a quality wide receiver. He has the highest stats of those three. And the price is manageable.
Right. I think this is a good point for anybody that is wondering why the Eagles didn't make more moves. Because I think the problem is when a team knows that a potential trade partner is desperate, they're going to keep the asking price high.
Right.
I bet you, what was the one you wanted? Patrick Peterson?
Patrick Peterson,
I bet you the Cardinals were asking for a boatload of picks or something.
I mean, he is a three-time All-Pro, so they were probably starting at a first.
Yeah.
It would be ridiculous if they started any lower, but I thought we had a chance of packaging Foles in a second for Peterson. I didn't think that was out of the realm of possibility. Arizona is also desperate. They need a quarterback, and a second-round pick, it's going to be...
I don't know. I think Arizona's pretty much sold that this year's down the toilet.
Right. So why not just continue blowing up the team and collect picks?
Because they have Josh Rosen.
And who's that?
Has
he played yet?
Yeah, he played a couple games and he got hurt this year.
So what has he done? Nothing.
But they're viewing him as the franchise quarterback.
All right, well, you know what? Maybe next year after they fail again, we can trade for Peterson then.
Okay. But
until then.
Yeah, until then. This is the boat we're in right now.
But no, you're right. The Cardinals were not going to try and part with one of their best players, just like everybody knew in their heart of hearts, despite all the rumors to the contrary, that the Steelers were not going to part with Le'Veon Bell. The Bills were not.
Hasn't reported to camp.
Well,
that whole thing is a giant mess.
Well, I'll say this. He has to, because then he won't be eligible for free agency next year. And then he's just shooting himself in the foot.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
Because I don't know the exact term for it, but he won't have this year counted towards his experience.
Right.
And so if it's not, then it means that even though he's been in the league, you know, X number of years, it's actually X minus one.
Right, because he hasn't played at all. That's a good point.
Right. So if I were him, I show up, I don't practice. I don't play. I don't listen to the coaches. I don't do anything. I collect a paycheck. I sit on the bench. I have Pittsburgh hate me. I walk out at the end of the year and sign a $50 million guaranteed contract with a good team that is not insane, because I got problems with the Steelers.
Here we go, Cleveland Browns.
They are clinging on to the light of the past, Rich, and they are not progressing for the future. I don't know, man. Big Ben, that defense, they're all getting old.
Mm-hmm.
It's...
But they like Connor, at least.
They do, and that's a great talent, and it goes back to my point. You don't spend a lot on running backs, but that's neither here nor there. They're a dime a dozen. They're a dime a dozen. You know what's not a dime a dozen? Good defensive back help. And this is the flip side of this argument about this trade. I'm not disappointed in the person they got. I like Golden Tate. I think he can help them stretch the field and give them a good playmaker opposite Jeffrey. What I'm disappointed in is the players that other teams signed that we very easily could have. NFC East rival the Washington Redskins traded a fourth-round pick to Green Bay for safety HaHa Clinton Dix. And in case people don't know who Clinton Dix is, he's one of the top-rated safeties per Pro Football Focus. He's actually the second-rated safety right now this season. So the Redskins actually have the top and the second-rated safeties on their team. And all it took was a fourth-round pick. Clinton Dix was a former second-team All-Pro. He is a great talent surrounded by a terrible defense,
I guess,
in Green Bay.
I guess the Packers really don't care about defense anymore. They're just jettisoning one of their best defensive players.
Talk about blowing up a team. I don't know what the Packers are doing.
All resources goes to offense. Passing offense. That's it. Yeah, and they trade away Ty Montgomery, too.
Yeah, but
another one.
But
too.
That would make sense if they gave Rodgers anybody to throw to.
Yeah.
It's just Rodgers.
Yep, he's just going to chuck it up there.
It's Rodgers and 52 other random people they found on the street.
Yeah, and here you go.
Yeah. So
in Aaron Rodgers, we trust.
Basically, but yeah, that's gonna come crashing down around them. You're telling me the Eagles couldn't muster a fourth-round pick for
some defensive help?
Defensive back help that they desperately need. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, this defense
Rasul Douglas, Sidney Jones, okay, yeah, they show promise. They're not going to be better than a former All-Pro safety.
Yeah.
And the current second-ranked safety in the league, you're not.
Yeah, and this defense right now is sinking, and I'm surprised that the Eagles didn't go out and get more help for this.
Yeah. It's just, so, all in all, I like the Eagles trade, but in terms of actual team need, I feel like they really missed the boat here.
Yeah, but I guess... You know, maybe this was the only move that they could have made today. I mean, who knows?
Maybe.
The thing that sucks about trades is we're never in the room to see like what were the original offers and everything like that. Everything is secondary reports.
And there were no running backs that were on any blocks that I know of.
Other than possibly Shady, but I don't think that was going to happen.
Well, the Bills were adamant that they were receiving calls, but they weren't making calls. They were not interested in shopping him at all.
I don't know. You're starting Nathan Peterman.
Right. So they need the running back help as much as possible.
Just
sell everybody.
Just
continue blowing it up.
Just sell every... Pull a Raider. Pull a John Gruden. Just sell
everybody.
Move
to Las Vegas with the Raiders.
Yeah. That's another thing. Oh, my God. The freaking Raiders.
They're on complete fire sale mode.
Yeah. Like, how do you show up for the rest of, like, this season now? You're 1-7. You know for a fact... That franchise is having a fire sale. You know they don't care about Oakland. They're already thinking
Time
about
out.
Vegas.
Time out. 2 years ago, they were 12-4.
Yeah.
And they were a game away from the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Just I don't know. I feel so bad for Oakland fans. They don't deserve that.
No.
It's a shame. Anyway.
That really is a shame.
So that's some NFL news.
There you go.
That we hit on you there.
Some trade deadline news. But another thing that people have to keep in mind when talking about trade deadlines is, of course, fantasy football and where all these new players are going to land. And that's where Rich comes into this, giving us his fantasy football advice for Week 9.
Yes. Now that the trade deadline is officially passed, you now have to hit the waiver wire or possibly any trades and see if you can pick up any sort of player that benefits from the trade deadline. So, for example, Demaryius Thomas just got moved from Denver. So if you have Emmanuel Sanders right now, he's going to be a hot item. Even for daily fantasy, that's going to be a great play. On the flip side, since Eagles just got Golden Tate, I would say Eagles receivers probably take a little bit of a dip because now Golden Tate is going to start to eat into the target share from Alshon Jeffrey and Zach Ertz. So it's things like that you're going to have to be aware of this upcoming week is how do these big names that got moved around, how does that affect other players' their time on the field. Whether it's Golden Tate coming to the Eagles and taking away targets, or what's left behind at Detroit, what receivers are left over, who's going to fill in the vacuum from the departure of Golden Tate. For there would be Marvin Jones and Galladay over there. I mean, those are the things you got to keep in mind when you're hitting this week in fantasy football. So a lot of news you need to be aware of, and a lot of moves that you need to be at least thinking about in terms of the waiver wire and any last-minute trades on your end. Because who knows, you might be able to pick up that one last player that could lead you into the fantasy playoffs and potentially the fantasy championship. This is it. This is crunch time. Fantasy playoffs are actually just 4 weeks away.
Yeah, so this is the home stretch right here.
Yeah, coming up. So this is probably your last chance to get somebody major that could change the destiny of your fantasy team. If you're at like 2-6 or 3-5, pull the trigger.
Try
something. You know?
Oh, you're saying stay in it. I'm saying fire sale.
No, well,
it doesn't matter.
Right,
it
doesn't matter. Yeah. if you're at 0 or 1 wins.
Well, hey, what if you want to move the team, Rich?
Yeah, you got to move the team out of your fantasy league. But no, if you're at like 2 or 3 or if you're at 2 or 3 wins, yeah, pull the trigger, try something new. And that's my fantasy football advice for this week.
All right.
There you go.
Perfectly timed music.
Yeah. Boom.
Love it.
Bam. How you like that?
I love it. You know what else I love? Is a good Eagles win. The Philadelphia Eagles beat the Jacksonville Jaguars.
What a transition, Merrill Reese, over there.
Thank you. Thank you. You know what else?
That defense was hard hitting. Speaking of hard hitting, you need good pavement on your on your driveway.
Exactly. Exactly.
I love the Eagles broadcast. It's like random commercial transitions like that.
Their transitions are the best. What is it? It always cracks me up when they're like, "That was the big crunch chip play of the game," or something. Yeah. I'm like, "What? Like, where did that come from?"
That was a big crunchy hit. Speaking of crunchy, make sure you have Tostitos.
It's something like that. I can't remember what it is, but it is something ridiculous. But anyway, back to the subject at hand. The Philadelphia Eagles beat the Jacksonville Jaguars in London, 24-18. Rich, was this a quality win, or is this just another we're beating up on a bad team at an opportune time?
I think it might be a little bit of the second, because the Eagles were not active in the first half of this game. They were definitely not at 100%. And this Jaguars team is not the same one from last year. Blake Bortles has regressed. I don't know why they keep running with him. It would not surprise me if he's cut by the end of the season or something, because, man, he's holding this team back.
Yeah.
And
even their defensive players are, you know, hinting at that.
Yeah.
I forget who it was. The quote was like,
Ramsey?
Yeah, we know what it is, but we can't say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even then, the Eagles were still behind against the Jaguars in the first half of this game, and that's just not acceptable.
Yeah.
It was a good thing they made adjustments at halftime.
Yeah, I hate throwing around this term because it's a college football thing, and I hate college football. But it's the quality of the win. You know, it's not a quality win. Just because you know they did struggle. They struggled. You said they struggled in the first half. I think they struggled in the second half too. They let the Jacksonville Jaguars creep back up. You know, They gave up 12 points in the second half. Again, that defense.
Yeah.
You know, it's the first half the offense can't get going. The second half the defense can't get going. So it's like we can't seem to get them on the same page at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's just super frustrating that every game this season has been like this. It's, you know, one half of the ball is working and the other half isn't. We won and we're at 500. I would view that as a negative. 500 going into the bye for the defending Super Bowl champs. I mean,
considering how they started off this season, I'm taking that as a plus.
Really?
Yeah, because they had to win this game. If they went into the bye week 3-5, that the season's over.
Oh no, I agree. But I'm saying, as a defending Super Bowl champion going into the bye, we should be 6-2 right now.
That's not.
We should be. I'm not saying that. We are. I'm saying that we should be. That's where we should be, given our talent.
Yeah, but unfortunately, just stupid mistakes have cost this team.
Yeah.
And now, you know, they'll have the bye week to reassess the second half of the season. To me personally, they have to win out all division games. That's how they get
Redskins
to the playoffs.
The Redskins now are surprisingly potent. They're 5-2. They just upgraded on defense. You know, they saw all of their NFC East rivals. They're going wide receiver, offense. They're like, all right, we'll double down on defense. That was the Eagles' strategy last season. And look what it got us.
Yep.
A Super Bowl. And this year, like, well, we're missing several key positions on defense. I know. We'll trade for a wide receiver. It's the exact opposite of where the Eagles were in the early 2000s. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Another little thing to point out, Lane Johnson's going to miss a few weeks with a sprained MCL, apparently.
And yeah.
That is going to suck for us. I did think the backups that played on the offensive line, they were serviceable, especially against that tough Jacksonville pass rush. The Jacksonville still has talented players. Like, that's the thing. Like, yeah, they're struggling this year.
Their defense does.
Yeah. It's still, at least the defense is still a talented squad. So that is one positive to take away. Carson Wentz looked really good. The run game saw some success. You know, Carson Wentz had that one pick, but also the three touchdowns.
Yep.
So I think in October, I think it's like 12 or 13 touchdowns and like two interceptions or something like that. Like, the ratio is just crazy. He's on pace to break his totals from last year, and he missed the first four games. So that's
that would be good news.
Yeah.
But it may also mean that we're relying too much on the passing game.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Well, now we have Golden Tate, so we're going to lean on it even more.
Fantastic.
He's going to throw 50 times a game, 60 times a game. There's no end to the number of times he can throw a game, Rich.
Right.
We don't need to run at all.
What's a running?
What's a running? This is Andy Reid 2.0 over here.
Yeah. Well, the Eagles go into the bye week, so they don't have a game coming up. But instead, we have four other games to pick for week 9. Are you ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right. So Fantastic Four
Peaks.
Fantastic Four picks for week number 9. Of the NFL season. We're pondering, what are the picks?
All right, well, first up, I love this music.
Yes.
This is music from the Spider-Man video game.
Yes.
I love it.
I'm addicted down to it.
Nice. I'm glad to hear that as a Spider-Man fan.
Yeah.
But first up, we have a classic AFC North Division rivalry. The Pittsburgh Steelers are traveling to Baltimore to face off against the Ravens. Both these teams are struggling to maintain control of this division. The Bengals are leading right now, and these teams are starting to struggle to stay in this race. Rich, who's going to win this one?
Well, you know, I like the fact that Baltimore's at home for this game, but, you know, 4-4 is kind of deceptive for this team. They lost one of their games on a fluke point after touchdown against a battle-hardened Saints team. They really should be 5-3 with a couple of quality wins. The Steelers, I think, are, like you said, are kind of stuck in the past. I don't think they've adjusted well for this season. I'm going to go with Baltimore at home to win this one.
Well, at home, defense reigns supreme, and the Ravens have the top-ranked defense. Their offense isn't too shabby either this year. But
they just got Ty Montgomery.
Right, exactly. But more importantly, I see the Steelers as having they've always had other issues, and I wonder if this is the year where it will finally start taking a toll. So I'm going to go with the Ravens here at home with that top-ranked defense. Next up, we have a West Coast fight. The L.A. Chargers are traveling to Seattle to face off against the Seahawks. Rich, who do you like in this matchup?
You know, the Seahawks, I want to believe in them. I really do.
You do?
But I don't know. It seems to me Russell Wilson is having a down year this year. I know that they like Chris Carson and they love running the ball and they like being able to employ some trickery, but you know, there's points in the game where you got to trust Russell Wilson to throw downfield, and they really haven't been doing that this season, and that really worries me about this Seattle Seahawks team. Plus, obviously, their defensive woes. They're not the same defense that they were.
Right.
On the other hand, the Chargers, they're coming off of a bye week. They're going to be well rested. Phillip Rivers, of course, leading a stellar offense there. I think give it to Melvin Gordon, and I think they should be able to take care of the Seahawks. So I'm going with Chargers.
Yeah, normally people, you know, they look at it and they say, oh, it's going to be rainy, it's going to be Seattle at home. people want to go with Seattle, but I think if the Chargers jump out to a lead with that top 10 offense, that the Seahawks are going to have a tough time keeping pace with them, especially giving the passing woes of the Seahawks. So if the Chargers can jump out ahead, which I think they can, passing attack versus that completely depleted Legion of Boom, I think they have a chance here to jump out ahead and stay ahead of the Seahawks, because that Seahawks offense will struggle to catch up. So I'm going Chargers in this one, even though they're going to be at Seattle. They don't have to go very far.
Yeah,
usually that only comes into play if it's an East Coast team going west, but this is just, you know, going up the coast. So Chargers in that one. Next up, could this be an NFC Championship round preview? The LA Rams traveling to New Orleans to face off against the Saints. I think it's safe to say these are the two best teams in the NFC.
At least the two best offenses.
Really? You don't think the two best overall?
I don't know, maybe. Well, I'm waiting to see how the NFC North plays out.
Okay. Yeah, it's a very tight race up there.
Yeah.
But for these two teams, one of them will become the best team in the NFC. Who do you think it's going to be?
I think just because of just how dominant this team has been this whole season, I mean, literally undefeated, I think you have to go with the Rams.
They just got better, too.
I mean, until the Rams show a weakness in their team or flaw, I think you got to stick with the Rams.
Yeah.
The only team undefeated right now.
It's kind of silly. You look at the stats, and they're literally ranked in the top 10 of everything.
It might be their year.
It really could be. The Saints are dominant on offense, but I'm looking at the numbers. Even the Rams are better than the Saints on offense. And here's the biggest disparity. The Rams are top 10 defense, and the Saints are 23rd.
Yeah, they don't have a good defense.
So,
never have a good defense.
No, even though they're at home, you know, that defense against that high-flying Rams offense, greater show on turf, once again, you got to go with the Rams here, I think, even on the road. A lot of road wins here. At least the last two.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Will the road team be able to upset this juggernaut? It's the gunslinger versus the tactician. Aaron Rodgers is leading the Green Bay Packers in enemy territory to square off against Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. This is a Sunday primetime game. Rich, who do you think is going to win this one? The barely mediocre Packers or the five-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots?
You know what's funny is you're framing it like this. The Patriots are not as dominant as...
The Packers are 3-3-1.
Yes, but the Patriots aren't as dominant as I think people think they are. I mean, they were playing against the Bills on Monday Night Football, and that first half, they were only managing field goals.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of rust in that offense. I don't know. I don't know if it's Brady not being able to throw deep downfield, or if it's the injuries piling up between Sony Michael and Gronk and all that. But there is definitely something holding the Patriots back. But I don't think it's enough to stop I don't think it's enough to cause them a loss at home. So I'm going to go with the Patriots at Foxborough.
Yeah, you know, we just joked about the Packers.
But I think it'll be closer than people expect. I could see this going down the last possession.
I think it's going to be close, and I think it's also going to be a shootout, because I don't see either of these defenses being particularly dominant, especially after we just joked about the Packers gutting their defense, getting rid of arguably one of their best defensive players in HaHa Clinton Dix, you know, against right the week before a pass-first offense in the Patriots. So I can already see Bill Belichick, you know, just eyes glazing and mouth watering over the possibilities of going deep over the top, you know, attacking a replacement safety. So I'm going with the Patriots here at home.
All right, and there you go. That's our Fantastic Four picks for week number 9 of the NFL season. There you go. I thought you'd like the change to music.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Anything Spider-Man I like. It was so funny, though, because before the show, I'm like, what is that music? It's very familiar. And you just look at me like, really?
Yeah, you know. but for now, that'll wrap up the sports sampler. But don't go anywhere, because coming next, we got the entertainment entree. We have to talk about Red Dead Redemption. And then the non-fortune cookie odd news. I got plenty of odd news to talk to you about. And there's a couple of crazy ones. So don't go anywhere. We got plenty more shows still to come. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
The crispy noodle, always crunchy.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? My Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Google Plus. Your sister's ass and punished, but very pissed off stick here. You know what ticks me off? Everybody's got a podcast. Everybody's got a podcast, but no podcast ever asked me to be on. But the crispy noodle podcast. That's what pissed off podcast that don't ask me to be on.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Oh, yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler, and we're moving right along into the next part of our show where we go over some TV, movie, and video game news. Folks, it's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Criticism where? From where?
Outside. Noise.
From where?
Twitter, radio.
Yeah, oh, I'd give a rat's ass about Twitter. It's a platform for people that are sitting home trolling an unemployment check, sitting in front of a keyboard.
All right, and there you go.
What was that?
That is the latest from legendary college head coach Mike Gundy. Do you remember Mike Gundy?
Is that the I'm a man guy?
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm not a kid.
Yeah, wow. Yep, Mike Gundy back in.
He's taking a much different tact this time.
Well, I mean, sure, but still pretty out there.
Oh, I'd give a rat's ass about Twitter.
Yeah,
he's very childish.
He doesn't give a rat's ass about Twitter, and he wants everybody to know about it.
Yeah, oh, I'd give a rat's ass about Twitter.
Very professional.
I don't know. He says he's a man, and then he's making fart noises at a press conference.
Well, that's what men do.
Of course.
We don't like something, we give it a fart noise. That's what we do.
Criticism where? From where?
Outside. Noise.
From where?
Twitter, radio.
Yeah, oh, I'd give a rat's ass about Twitter. It's a platform for people that are sitting home trolling an unemployment check, sitting in front of a keyboard.
Yeah.
He does it twice.
Yes, he does.
Like, is he using that in place of periods, like to punctuate his sentences?
If he doesn't care about what you have to say, yeah, the period gets replaced by a raspberry.
Wow. Stupid.
Mike Gundy, man. Just, at least he makes the press conferences interesting.
Exactly. I guess that's one takeaway.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40! I'm not a kid! Write something about me.
Yeah.
Well, so. They are, and now he's just farting at it.
Yeah, well, that's how a man handles
that's
it.
That's how a man handles
yeah,
it, that's
you,
right.
Right, you're gonna, don't write about a kid, write about me. Oh, you are gonna write about me?
Yeah.
There you go, that's what I have to say.
I fought in your general direction.
Yeah, there right? you go. Bam,
Monty
take that.
Python.
So, yeah, it's the Monty Python technique.
Yeah. He's just standing on top of the wall, flapping his hands and farting at people.
Right. It's actually a beautiful thing that every man has to do.
Such a majestic sight.
Yeah, oh, I'd give a rat's ass about Twitter.
So there
He's
you go.
He's a strange, strange person, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. Oklahoma State head coach, the Mike Gundy man.
Has he been there this whole time? Like,
yeah.
Through the two? Wow.
Yep, yep.
So he can do pretty much whatever he wants.
Oh, yeah.
He has that seniority.
He's
now.
Immortalized now. How are you going to fire the I'm 40 dude? He's 50 now, all right?
He has to come out with a new version.
He can do whatever he wants.
Where are we at in society today?
Asking the hard-hitting questions,
that's,
too.
That's right.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40! I'm not a kid! Write something about me.
Yes, so... There you go. Mike Gundy back in the crosshairs of the media with his it's not even a rant. It's just more of just like a flippant attitude.
Yeah.
Like it's not really a rant. It's
no.
Just I don't care about Twitter attitude.
Right.
I'd give a rat's ass about Twitter.
So there you go. Please, Mike Gundy, please keep it going. I want to hear more things that he wants to talk about.
He only
about.
Gives one sound bite every 10 years.
But
so.
it's worth it. It is absolutely worth it. So keep it going. All right. Now it's time to get to the portion of the show where Mike lets you know what's coming up this weekend for movies, TV, and video games that you should keep an eye out for. It's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
Me, I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm not a kid. Write something about me.
All right. Well, if you're not writing something about Mike Gundy, what are you going to be up to this weekend?
Well, this weekend you could get up to seeing some movies hitting theaters. First up, Bohemian Rhapsody hits theaters this week. No, not the song, but the drama biopic of the famed 1970s rock band Queen and their iconic lead singer Freddie Mercury. It follows the band's rise to success and traces the ups and downs of the group as Mercury's lifestyle nearly derailed the band. Unfortunately, unlike Queen's eventual success, the reviews are only trending downward with the film.
Oh, really?
Yeah, only garnering a 48 on Metacritic.
Aww.
That's really disappointing.
Yeah, the trailers look good.
The trailers look really good, but as is the case with many modern trailers, maybe those are the only good parts of the movie. But we'll see. Make your own judgments. Go see it for yourselves. That's Bohemian Rhapsody opening this week in theaters.
Are they on Twitter?
Are they there? I don't know. Go. Yeah. But this is definitely not one that you're going to want to fart at. And, Rich, I think this one will be right up your alley. The Other Side of the Wind.
Are you sure?
I didn't even think of that. The entertainment entree is just all fart themed now.
Yes.
But The Other Side of the Wind straddles an interesting borderlands between movies and TV. It's a unique Netflix film premiering this Friday. The late, great director Orson Welles.
What?
Orson Welles.
Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence. Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
Oh, yes.
See, I knew you'd be interested in this
yes,
one.
Yes, now I'm hooked.
All right, well, let's hear what this is all about. Because
you have to crack open a bottle of Parmesan wine if you're going to watch this.
You might need it to get through this. It is a truly...
The French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
Yeah, so what is it about?
Well... Let me tell you, the story behind the film is actually just as interesting as the film itself. Orson Welles originally began what was to be his final film in 1970, but after 6 years of work and finishing 96% of the movie, financial troubles forced production to stop. After decades of legal battle, Netflix finally came to the rescue and acquired the rights and finished the project. The film, oddly enough, is a meta-mockumentary about an aged, famed director trying to reclaim former glory with one final new film. The film currently has an 83 on Metacritic, so maybe in the end it worked.
Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence. Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to have to give this a shot.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We don't know what Orson Welles we're going to get, though.
Yeah.
We're going to get Citizen Kane or we're going to get Paul Masson.
Yeah. Hopefully it's a little bit of both.
Right.
The French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
Yes, excellence.
It is a comedy. It is a meta-mockumentary dramedy.
So maybe it works.
Yeah, it does have a little bit of humor in there. Okay. You know what doesn't have much humor in it, though, is this television show. House of Cards returns to Netflix this Friday for its delayed sixth season without lead actor Kevin Spacey. There's really no way around it. The show was delayed to find a way to move forward without Spacey after he was removed from the show following sexual assault allegations against him. This season looks to pick up not too far from where the last season left off, albeit with a predictable twist that allows Robin Wright's Claire Underwood to take center stage. Rich, we talked about this last week, about how this might be a show that you would sacrifice and let it fall to the wayside because it committed a media mortal sin. Are you still thinking that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't feel like there's going to be a good draw to this season. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm completely wrong and maybe Robin Wright steals the show and performs very well, but I don't know. To me, it seems like there's no House of Cards without Frank Underwood.
Yeah.
Like, he's the one that built this whole franchise.
It's really tough to get around that single fact. And if you've seen the trailers, you know what the predictable twist is that allows for her to take center stage.
And it's not a sexist thing either, because Walking Dead is going to be facing the same dilemma. I don't think I'm going to be watching Walking Dead after Rick goes away.
And it's absolutely not, you know, it's a female lead thing. It's just you have this central figure. It doesn't matter male or female. This central figure for 5 years. Is such a well-known character, and then all of a sudden,
he's
just
gone.
Written out, you know, without a second thought, just sort of haphazardly, and I don't know, maybe we're making a snap judgment here. I'll tune into the first episode, see what it's like, and make my judgment based on that, but for everyone that is a fan of House of Cards, it is back this week for its delayed and shortened, but final sixth season. And finally, in video games, Call of Cthulhu, the official video game, comes to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. The developers calling this an RPG investigation game, as players assume the role of a private detective desperately in need of work, who lands a case of a mysterious family murder in which the only clue left is a drawing from the crazy mother of the family. Players will have to manage their sanity while exploring the semi-open world of an island off the coast of Boston as they try to solve mysterious murders and unearth Lovecraftian horrors. It looks pretty good. So far, reviews have not been overwhelmingly positive, but if you're looking for that last little bit of horror at the tail end of the Halloween season and the start of the Christmas season for some reason, go check out Call of Cthulhu, the official video game. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, so there you go, Mike. Thank you for that segment this week in entertainment. All right, now it's time to get to something that we both hinted at and we definitely want to talk about. We have played the first couple of missions and hours into Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, man.
8 years in the making. What are your first impressions? What do you think so far?
Well, before I get in my first impressions, I just want to let people know what type of history this game is making right now. I have some launch statistics. It is officially the biggest entertainment launch in history. It sold through over $725 million worth of product in its first 3 days. Whoa.
Bam.
Bam. That was exciting.
Just want to let everybody get in the swing of this.
Everybody, wake up. So, yeah, $725 million in 3 days. It's the most pre-ordered game on PlayStation Network ever. And initial reactions, it's everything that I thought it would be. Good, bad, the precedent it sets for open-world games. I'm just continuously amazed by Rockstar and their ability to take open world, the open world format, and elevate it to the next level. Yeah. We'll get into the nitty gritty of it, but that's my initial reaction. Rich, your initial reaction?
So far, I mean, it is definitely a descent from current games, because I feel like a lot of games that are coming out now are very fast-paced, especially since I'm coming off of Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. That's as fast as you can get other than a racing game.
Yeah. And for Rockstar, too, they're coming off of Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
A lot of those games are fast-paced, and you're trying to move, you know, from mission to mission, move from city to city or different part of the area to a different part of the area on the map. This game is completely opposite. Completely opposite. It's like you take your time with each setting, with each mission.
Yeah.
You learn about the characters. You talk with the characters. You have to take care of the main character himself. You're supposed to eat certain foods and bathe yourself. And, like, all these, like, it sounds like mundane tasks. But what it does is it builds a rapport with the character that you're controlling, and how you want your character to be perceived among the other characters in the world.
Right.
So if you want a clean cut guy, you can, and the people will notice. Oh, he's a good guy. He seems to do the right thing. On the other hand, if you want like a dirty villain or something, you can have that way too. You can have the guy that shoots the hostages and says, it's things are cleaner without any eyewitnesses.
Right.
And it's funny, even in just the two levels, you start to see whether or not your decisions affect how the other characters perceive you.
Yeah.
And I think it's really interesting that it's already taken effect within the first couple of levels.
Yeah, and I just want to circle back to what you were talking about taking care of the character and eating and sleeping and bathing and all that stuff, because on the surface it does sound mundane, but I really think you hit on it in the fact that it does develop, in my opinion at least, a stronger bond with the character and between the characters. And it really gives you an incredible sense of place and of how your character works in the world. It immerses you into it. And I was worried about that element. About, you know, oh, I'm going to have to, you know, eat. I'm going to have to, you know, take time off from a mission to go, you know, have a shave or, you know, go to the bath or whatever. Like, it's a video game. You don't want to have to do those things. But for whatever reason, I find it, like, compelling in this game that it's that slower pace and you're taking your time with it and you're living that Wild West fantasy, every aspect of it. You're setting up, you know, camp on top of a plateau looking out over the Great Plains, and there's just that moment where it's like wow, you know, where it's, you just feel like if you feel like you're there, you know, and you're taking the time and you're making careful decisions and everything is more deliberate. Everything is, you know, very thoughtful. I don't feel like there's a lot of things that are decisions made haphazardly, both in terms of gameplay decisions and in mechanics of the game. Everything feels very deliberate, and it's very refreshing. You know, a lot of games just throw all the icons on the screen at you and have cluttered maps and handhold a lot, and it's so concerned with removing layers to make it as accessible as possible, and there's definitely something to be said about that. Accessible games are great. I'm not saying this isn't accessible or that this is inaccessible, but it forces a somewhat deeper commitment, a slower pace, and more attention. And I think that pays off.
Yeah.
Because it allows a deeper connection, not just this surface level, I'm just going to skate through the story and be done with it.
And it also works well within the frame of the story that you're given.
Right.
You're a part of Dutch's gang, and you're on the run, but you're not like... You know, it's funny. We're so used to, like, Grand Theft Auto and, like, cop movies and stuff. Like,
just a lone wolf running, gunning it through the city.
Right. This game is not that. You're traveling with a group of companions, and they all are either going to care about you or be afraid of you.
Right.
And it depends on how you want to perceive the character.
And there's commitments to those characters, too. One of the elements, another element that I was worried about was, oh, you have to take care of the camp. You have to bring money in for the camp and hunt for the camp and yada yada, because you're the gang leader's like right-hand man.
Yeah, you're the lieutenant.
And I thought, oh, man, that's going to be so tedious. But the game makes you want to go back and go to the camp and bring them supplies, because every time you're in camp, and it's this intimate little setting where you can talk to any character and interact with things around camp and do things like eat stew or sit and play poker, or there was one, I guess, semi-scripted, semi-organic event where somebody returned to camp and they're like, oh, let's have a celebration. And it wouldn't let you do any of the other activities because everybody was busy celebrating this one person's return. And you could go over and sit down and listen to somebody telling a story by the campfire, or you could go stand by the table and join in people singing, or go dance with somebody off in the corner. It's just this really interesting, it made it feel alive. And that's the other thing. People think Wild West, open, sparse, desolate, Great Plains. But no, it is teeming with life. 15 minutes of trotting down the road and I uncovered a woman, you know, digging up dinosaur bones. I witnessed a guy get kicked in the head by his horse. I was ambushed. I hunted some deer. I did a mission. I ran into a blind stranger who asked me for a dollar, and he gave me some weird prophetic vision. And this was all packed into just trotting down this lonesome, dusty road in the middle of the Great Plains, and it was breathtaking. Yeah. The amount of life and variety they pack into every moment, just in passing people and saying hello to them. Everybody greets you differently.
Yeah, I mean, this is why we were saying that, you know, this game was so extensive and took 8 years to make.
It's much more alive
than
Grand Theft Auto. Like, as big as Grand Theft Auto is and as populated as it is, this feels like the game is breathing. The environment is, like, teeming and bristling with life and activity.
Yeah. And you can clearly see that they just put in a lot of work into this. And
yeah. It's not surface level stuff either.
Right.
You can talk to every character.
Yeah.
Doesn't that just blow your mind? I make a point to say hi to everyone.
Right.
And half the people are like, hey. And some people draw guns on me, and some people just completely ignore me, and it feels organic and real.
Right. So there's a, what is it? I think it's R2 for PlayStation. We're playing on PlayStation.
Yeah.
If you hit R2, like a dialogue box comes up. And you can either choose to say hello to people, you can choose to rob people right then and there.
You can antagonize them. If there's a tense situation, you can defuse it. You can just upright shoot them because it's that type of game.
Right. But it's supposed to be what you want to be in this Wild West.
And they react differently to you.
Yeah.
If you have, you know, a big, like, unruly beard and long, unkempt hair, or you have your bandana up, they're going to immediately suspect you of something. They're going to draw their gun, and you're going to have to defuse the situation. If you're, you know, like you said, clean cut, or you have a high honor system in the game, then they're going to react more friendly towards you. And like I said, it just feels very organic and very in the moment and very immersive. I think it's safe to say, though, that we're both just beaming with enjoyment over this game.
Yeah. I wish I had more time to really just sink my teeth into it.
Oh yeah, I mean,
this is going to be a game that you take your time with,
yeah,
and you're going to enjoy. This is not a game where you're just trying to rush to the end and figure out what's going to happen.
Yeah, no, you're not beelining the main story missions. This is a game where you have to sit down with and you have to be in the moment.
Yeah,
I know it sounds corny, but it is. You have to take your time with it, and you have to every once in a while stop, set up camp, cook some food, and just appreciate the immensity of this game.
Yeah.
And just the incredible pinnacle they've reached in open world gameplay. Like, I can't explain, I can't put to words this world and how alive it feels.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like an actual deep living world that they've created. It doesn't feel fake. It doesn't feel manufactured. I don't know. Do you feel the same way?
I agree. And just the level of detail that they've put into this is crazy. I mean, I one of the first things that I've done is I've upgraded my horse.
Yeah. And the bonding level?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's like 8 different kinds of horses to start off with.
Yeah.
And there's more you're going to unlock like throughout the whole game. Like, how many? Who was the horse developer?
I have to say this. I love the horse mechanic. At first, I was like, oh, you got to bond with your horse so it doesn't do stupid things. But I love that aspect. The horse will get, like, nervous if it's around, like, a predator enemy, like a wolf or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you can calm down your horse. Like, it's like those little touches where it's like they thought of everything.
Yeah. I mean, this is why they took 8 years to finish this game.
Yeah.
But this is the payoff.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah, we're just gushing over this game. But I want to know, Rich, is it as perfect as the reviews seem?
I mean, I don't. See, my problem
did it live up to the hype?
I don't. My problem is,
we're not finished yet.
Yeah, I need to get through.
But
a nice chunk of the game.
Knee jerk hot take reaction because that's all the rage nowadays. Yeah.
I mean, so far it's a lot of fun to play, and it's just I'm blown away by the level of detail in this game. You know, I mean,
yeah.
You can literally walk into a saloon, play poker, or go to the bathhouse and have a bath, or go into the. Or go into the sheriff's office and go for a bounty, and
yeah.
it's crazy. You almost need a separate job to take care of this game.
Yeah, you need your 40 hours a week at your day job.
Yeah,
you need 40 hours a week at your Red Dead Redemption 2 job. It feels like that. I've spent an absurd amount of time already hunting.
Yeah,
and
that's not even the mission.
No, it's not. And I'm terrible at it, but I like it. You know, and you have to track the animal, and you have to stay downwind from it, and get the perfect shot off. And it's just rewarding when you pull it off. It's just really difficult to. But it's the little things that I love the most. Have you ever picked up a carcass and it left blood on your shirt? Did you notice that? If you pick up a big carcass and you throw it over your shoulder,
I did notice. I got into a bar fight.
Okay,
and. When you walk away from the bar fight, your character's just covered in mud because, there's a part of it where it goes outside and you tussle around in the mud.
Yeah, I know the fight you're talking about.
And, yeah, you walk away, you're covered in mud, and, the game doesn't let you, doesn't change until you actually, go to, a bath or you change clothes or something.
Right, yeah, it stays on you. At one point.
And then if you stay like that, the other people in the town are like, ugh, that guy's dirty.
At one point, I went back to camp, and the one character stopped me and forced me to wash off.
Yeah, see?
I was like, damn! I'm like, lady, I've just been hunting deer for the camp. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Cut me some slack here.
So those are the things I'm trying to get at, is you make decisions that you don't even realize you're making.
Right.
And it affects how the people in the Red Dead Redemption world see you.
It's like if you made that decision in real life.
Yeah.
You know, what would happen?
Right. Like, Mike, you need a shower.
Right.
Right now.
Exactly. Well, in that case, goodbye. No.
Yeah. you stink.
But, no, it's, yeah, I'm just blown away by those little moments. People react differently if you're soaked in blood after carrying a deer carcass to your horse.
Yeah.
You know, it's just those little nuances.
Or if you forgot your hat.
Yeah.
Did you notice that? If you forget your hat after a fight or something, or you get thrown off a horse or something, and then you walk to, town or something, and people are like, where's your hat?
I always try to pick up my hat.
Yeah.
Which is such a weird mechanic. You have to pick it up off the ground. But I love it.
Yeah.
It's great. It's that little touch.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, it's just, I last week we mentioned the term generation defining, and I don't know if I feel comfortable saying that right now, but I'll be damned if it's not as close as possible to generation defining as we've gotten this generation.
Yeah, it's so far in the two parts that I've played so far, it's a lot of fun, and... I want to play more. I just need more time.
I can't wait to see what happens. The story is super compelling too. Just everything about it is great. The music, the visuals. I feel like I'm playing Hateful Eight, the opening of it.
Oh, you know? That's a good. Yeah, it's a good comparison.
The snowy scenes.
Yeah.
And you're trekking through the blizzard.
That's right.
And they're like, put on the cinematic camera, and I'm like, yes, please, and thank you, and I'm Quentin Tarantino now.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is great.
Right. That's literally the beginning of Hateful Eight.
Yeah. I was like, it's amazing. It's amazing. It's got a 98 out of 100 on Metacritic, and yeah, that's about right.
Yeah. Well, that's what we get in Rockstar. We trust.
Yep.
So, yeah, we can't wait to go back to the PlayStation and see what else we can uncover that we can do in this game. But if you haven't gotten it, I think we're on board that you need to go get it.
Yeah. We'll have our final reviews 4 months from now.
I don't know. Maybe a year from now.
Maybe a year
depending
from
on
now.
All this content. But there you go. Red Dead Redemption 2 out now. But that will wrap up the entertainment entree. Don't go anywhere, though, because even though we had to play Red Dead Redemption... That doesn't mean the odd news stopped, because I got a whole bunch of stories we need to get to. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, Woody here. What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
I'm Nikolai Volkov. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. That is order.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You got to go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Oh, yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler and the entertainment entree, and we are moving right along into the third and final portion of our show, where, of course, I peruse the internet and I find strange but true stories. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. You search high and low for the very best of the wacky, the wild, the always entertaining non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandada bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. Fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell, right?
Woo! Odd news.
That's right, everybody. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. And here in this segment, Rich researches the news. He reads the news and I react to the news. He finds all these weird and wacky stories and keeps them hidden from me, which ensures that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. And I'm ready to get started and dive on in. What do you got for us?
All right. I figured this one is perfect for you, Mike.
Okay.
And some of you at home, you might have actually seen this story. I went viral over the past week. We're going to London in the first story.
Okay, jolly old England.
And we're going to talk about a guy named Alan Robert, who is known as the real-life Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man.
Yeah. Does he have a catchy 1960s theme song, too?
No. But what he does is he has interesting ability to climb buildings without safety nets.
Wow. That's very risky.
Yes.
Oof.
Alan Robert decided last Thursday to climb the Huron, I think it's the Huron Tower?
Sure.
I don't know.
One of those.
Sorry, we're from the States. We're ignorant. Sorry. He climbed the Huron Tower in London, which is 754 Ooh. Feet tall.
No thanks.
Yeah, this is we're talking death. Yeah, if you slip, this is instant death.
You dead.
Robert, who has previously scaled towers in Dubai and in New York, reached the top of the 46-floor skyscraper using only chalk on his hands, tape on his fingers, and thin gloves.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's it.
How is that even possible?
Somehow it is. That's why he's the real-life Spider-Man.
Just tape on his fingers? What? So he's climbing like Spider-Man. Like, yeah. Actually like Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, no, there's
I don't know. I envision like him having like supplies.
No.
Or...
This is it. There's no safety equipment. No, not. This is only chalk, tape, and thin gloves. That's it.
How is that even possible? How does. What type of tape is he using? It must be like the strongest tape ever.
I don't
like sticky enough to hold a human as he's climbing. Am I understanding this correctly? He's got gloves with tape on the fingers, and that's how he's climbing. That's wild.
According to news reporters, he told reporters, quote, "I'm not crazy. What I'm doing may seem crazy, but I assure you, I'm not that crazy."
here's my rule of thumb. If you have to say I'm not that crazy that many times in one sentence, you are almost certainly crazy.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes a Spider-Man.
Unfortunately, local police didn't see this as a cool stunt. They arrested Robert for causing a public nuisance because the stunt brought traffic around the building to a halt as everybody looked and recorded what was happening. So that's interesting. It actually stopped traffic.
Yeah, well, everybody's got to stop and take a look at it,
of course. He's climbing up the building.
Yeah. Speaking of climbing up buildings in Spider-Man, there's a spider climbing on the door frame behind you.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and it's... See it right there?
Oh, my gosh.
I've been watching the spider, and I'm like, why are you talking about a Spider-Man story? And there's a spider on the doorframe right there.
What odd timing.
We're yeah, I know.
Literally talking about...
And it's very distracting because I hate bugs and I hate spiders. I love Spider-Man, but I hate spiders.
That's ironic.
Yeah. But I'm like watching the spider, like we're talking about a spider story. And there's this... from my perspective, it looks like a pretty big spider.
Can you reach it?
I don't know.
Well, poor mom is coming in to kill it.
I'm recording a podcast right now. I am giving you blow by blow, play by play action. My mom is standing here in the kitchen. She just woke up from a nap, and she's going in. She has a tissue, a single tissue. Oh, a paper towel. And she's getting ready to strike. She's squaring it up. She can't get a good angle. She's trying to move all of Rich's. Oh no, she took off her shoe. She's got her slipper on her hip. As she dives, she crushes it. It falls to the ground. She's scrambling.
It's a fumble.
For it.
It's a fumble.
She got. I think. Did she get it? I hope she got it.
I don't know. Okay. I think it's been taken care of.
Where else are you going to get programming like this?
Yeah.
You're a hero, Mom. You're a hero. I text her. I was like, can you come please kill this spider?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Really?
What was I supposed to do? It was going to kill us.
Kill the spider.
I didn't want to stop recording.
You could. It's a spider. We could have stopped
I didn't want to stop. No, we were in the middle of the story.
Oh, my
We were jiving. It was a good story. We were getting good, you know, good stuff.
Okay.
I didn't want to break the flow.
No,
instead, I broke the flow to give a play-by-play.
Right.
My mom
instead, you wanted to be a commentator.
what can I say, Rich? I got dreams, man.
There you go.
I'm not gonna let anything stand in the way of them.
Not a spider.
No.
Wow. All right.
I bet you weren't expecting that twist.
No, I was not. That was interesting.
You never know what you're gonna get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Like
right. We say at the top of the show.
We say it every week. There you go. Play by play of killing a spider.
So.
Okay,
but
anyway.
Yeah, spiders. Oh, man, we could have became Spider-Man if we let it bite us.
Yeah.
That's how it works, right? That's
yeah.
what I've been taught.
Right, you get the bite, and the web goes through the wrists and
yeah.
stuff.
Well, no, you're playing Spider-Man. You should know that it's a web shooter.
No, I'm
only
playing...
Only the Sam Raimi
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I'm playing the Sam Raimi version. That's what I was thinking in my head.
You want the webs to come out of your wrists. Don't you think that's creepy?
It makes, to me, it makes more sense.
Really?
Because if it's just a wrist thing, why doesn't everybody do it? You know?
Well, because Peter Parker is super smart, and he had to craft it himself, and he came up with the formula for the web material himself.
And nobody else was privy to this?
No, because he's a genius. Not,
I'm sure somebody could have figured it out.
Look, if Batman can make shark repellent, and only he can have his shark repellent, why can't Spider-Man make webbing?
Because it's only very expensive. And
very expensive shark repellent.
And only Batman can afford it.
Why doesn't he sell it? Why isn't he like, hey, look, no more shark attacks. Here's shark repellent.
Because no. He's dark and brooding.
He's dark and brooding, and it prevents him from making a good profit margin.
Yes, all right. He's got other things to worry about with Wayne Enterprises.
Sure.
Anyway. the incident this afternoon has had a considerable impact on police.
What? There's another bug.
Oh, it's gigantic.
What?
We have a second spider. Oh, no.
Oh, she's calling my dad in. This is
oh,
this
no.
Is
we got reinforcements. Wait a minute.
Take a picture.
Yeah. What is happening over there?
What is going on right now?
Yeah. Look, I mentioned one spider story.
And you have summoned the spiders here.
Yeah.
Why did you bring this plague upon this house, Rich?
I thought this would be right up your alley because you like Spider-Man.
But you've also summoned the plague of flesh-eating spiders to descend upon this household. Here, my dad comes in half asleep. He shows no emotion whatsoever. He's like, what's happening? I don't care.
Is this a thing?
Let me see. I got to see this picture of this giant spider. Okay.
Yeah, let's see the spider here.
That's a pretty big spider. It doesn't really do it justice. Oh, it looks pretty big.
It's dark.
It is dark. That's the best picture you can get. You're fired.
Okay. There we go. We got the spider update there. All right. So now we're at two. Is there not? What?
My dad is afraid it's going to bite him. My mom just killed another bug. Apparently, we have a bug problem all of a sudden.
Yeah, when did this happen? Are you guys okay over there?
Just close your eyes and don't look for them. And that way, you won't see them.
I can't help but my spider senses.
Okay,
there we go.
The spider senses are working.
Fantastic.
I think this is the first time odd news has actually happened while we're reporting odd news.
Well, I mean, they're completely unrelated things. It just happened that it was all occurring at once.
Yeah.
Spider story and real life spiders. A little glimpse into how the Costanzo household works when there's a bug present. Everybody freaks out and is completely incapable of doing anything.
Yes. Yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that. So there you go. Alan Robert. Is the real life Spider-Man, and
police have a problem with him because he's climbing their buildings.
Yes, and stopping traffic.
Oh my god!
All right, well, so wait, if
don't summon anything else. You're like, this story's about sharks. All of a sudden, shark comes crashing
right
through the window.
So wait a minute. If we're going by this logic, wait a minute. So should I do a story about a threesome then?
I mean, depends on who's involved, Rich. There's a very select number of people in this house right now. I don't know. You might want to turn your powers off.
Yeah.
Whoops. But go ahead. What do you got?
Going to South Carolina in this one. A threesome went terribly wrong on Monday night when a South Carolina woman who was high on meth and heroin decided to try to bite off the genitals of another man with whom she was trysting.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
Is that really how the story's written? With whom she is trysting?
Yeah.
That's great.
Cops were summoned to an apartment complex in Hanahan, which is a city 15 miles north of Charleston. A 911 caller reported an assault where the female attempted to bite off his penis.
Oh, don't do that.
Help me, penis, my ultimate form!
Oh, yeah.
Look, I'm sure he would have taken you to a convenience store to get a hot dog. You didn't have to.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
You didn't have to resort to that. That's cruel.
Upon arriving at the residence, cops spotted a naked white female on hands and knees crawling into a hallway. The woman ignored police commands to stop moving and then charged towards the officers.
On her hands and knees still?
Yeah. The woman...
I feel like it's not as threatening as somebody running towards you.
The woman, cops noted, had already threatened to bite off the victim's penis as well. That's when
it was a hostage negotiation at this point.
Yeah. That's when cops then engaged his taser on the female. Here's what happened. The suspect, who was identified as 26-year-old Cameo Lewis Luca.
Cameo?
Yeah, Cameo. That's her first name. She told police that she had used heroin and meth that evening. You know, normal evening, of course.
Yeah, normal routine.
Oh.
Luca later struggled with cops as they sought to place her on a gurney. And that's when she continued to bark, growl, and hiss at police.
Don't make me assume my ultimate form!
Okay.
The victim, 31-year-old Stephen Norton, told cops that he and another man were having sex with Luca in a threesome when she passed out from the drug use. Norton said that he then asked Luca to leave his apartment, but she refused. Norton said that Luca began throwing items at him and threatened to bite his penis off if he didn't continue to have more sex with her. Yeah, how dare you? Just because I'm asleep doesn't mean I'm not into it.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
Oh, that's risky territory right there.
Yeah. Norton then replied, no, please just go home. then Luca struck him above the right eye with a glass object, causing a gash.
Ooh.
Before calling 911,
where was the other person in all this? She said a
threesome. He just bolted.
He just left. He's like, you know what? This is too much for me.
Yeah, she's threatening to bite his dick off. I gotta leave.
Yeah,
I'm not into this.
I mean, usually when those threats start flying, it's a good indication that you should call it a night.
Before calling 911, Norton said that they struck each other several times with fists.
This is a full on brawl at this point.
Yeah. Norton told police that if Luca went to the hospital, he would not pursue charges. Luca was transported to a hospital while Norton was treated for injuries at a different hospital. Good call.
Yep.
Yeah, I do not want to see her down the hallway.
Just going to hunt him down in his hospital bed and bite his dick off.
Yeah. While cops have classified the incident as an aggravated assault, investigators are still reviewing the matter and no arrest has been made. So maybe... they'll just walk away from this.
I mean...
And no more threesomes with this woman.
Yeah, no. She seems highly unstable. But is it like offsetting penalties in football then?
Yeah.
It's just like, they made a few threats. They both hit each other a few times. Let's just call it even.
Right. Call it even. Walk away.
I feel like that would be an okay outcome. Is that wrong of me to say that? For them to just be like, it's a push. It's a wash.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Just any guy that wants to have
fun. Just no more biting private parts. Unless you're into that sort of thing, just don't bite hard enough to, have
just
a come
off. Any guy who wants to have fun with Cameo Lewis Luca, you might want to watch out.
I don't know. That name, Cameo, just bugs me a little bit.
Yeah, that's a weird first name.
It's not a name. It's like a thing, Cameo. It's like what Stan Lee does in Marvel movies.
Right. Let's do a local story here. Going to New Jersey in our next story here.
Okay. State of New Jersey.
This is just a random story here.
Okay.
Workers at a New Jersey Goodwill store made an unusual discovery among their recent donations. They found that someone donated a 1774 newspaper, which features articles that led up to the American Revolution.
Wow.
Yeah, what a find here.
That's actually really cool. I would totally take that if I worked at that Goodwill. I'd be like, this is mine. Thank you.
Heather Randall, the e-commerce manager for Goodwill of Southern New Jersey, said that she and her team are tasked with finding high-value items among the donations to the thrift shop. She said that the framed newspaper was from December 28th, 1774.
Oh, that's so cool.
They weren't 100% sure of what they had, so they had to do research to substantiate the claims and appraise the newspaper. The newspaper features an article that decries the Boston Port Bill, which is the response to the Boston Tea Party by the British Empire. It was verified as authentic by appraisers at Cohasco of Yonkers, New York. The appraiser, Robert Snyder, said that there are only three other copies of this newspaper that is known to still exist.
That's amazing. God, it makes me think, I'm going to sound like a hoarder now. People should be saving newspapers of major historical events.
Oh, yeah.
That are happening.
A lot of people do that, yeah.
I don't. I miss that trend.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I have, I don't know if we still have, I have a newspaper from 9/11.
Yeah, something like that.
So, yeah, like that. 200-300 years from now, if the planet is still around, will be very valuable.
Yay!
But that is so cool. I wish I had something. Like, isn't that awesome?
Mm-hmm. How much do you think it's valued for?
Oh, it's got to be a lot. It's got to be tens of thousands, easily.
So what's your Pawn Stars Rick Price.
Oh, man. I'm going to...
Best I can do, Price.
I'm going to seem foolish, but I'm going to say probably like 75,000.
Well, apparently you're not as good as Rick then.
Oh.
Randall said that the newspaper is valued at $18,000.
Oh, that's it?
Although
I place a higher value on it because I think it's just really freaking cool.
Although he does admit that the value could go up as the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence approaches.
Yeah, for some reason I feel like 18,000 is just kind of low. Like one of three?
Robert Snyder is a low ball appraiser.
Yeah,
I
really.
Don't trust him.
Well, think it's one of three original copies, and it's from a period of time where there's not a lot of... Like, I can't imagine there's a lot left from that period of time. Especially something that's as authentic as a newspaper headline. Like, there are historical documents that were created with the intention of them remaining, you know, relevant. But a newspaper headline, that's like a slice of life from that period. I just think that's really interesting. Oh, man. I wish I had something like that. I actually have...
And it was right here, New Jersey.
I have Confederate money.
Ooh,
I mean, replica that I bought at Gettysburg, but...
Oh, I thought...
It's cool, though. It's still cool.
Sure.
Well, you know what, Rich? You are just jealous because you don't have any Confederate money.
No, I don't.
You don't love the Confederacy like the rest of us do.
Here in Philadelphia.
Here in Philadelphia.
Weird. Okay. Let's get to a story here in Arkansas here.
All right. Arkansas.
In Arkansas, cops...
Arkansas.
Arkansas.
That's how it's spelled.
It looks like Arkansas. Anyway.
No, that's exactly how it's spelled.
Anyway, Arkansas cops are stumped as to why an accused shoplifter was wearing a cow costume when she was recently caught swiping allergy medication from a Walmart store.
Yeah, bitch, I'm a cow. Bitch, I'm a cow. I'm not a cat. I don't say meow. Bitch, I'm a cow. Bitch, I'm a cow. Bitch, I'm a cow. Bitch, I'm a cow. Go moo.
Oh yeah.
Well, I mean, there's all the reason you need.
Yeah, this
bitch,
song.
I'm a cow.
She was very inspired by Doja Cat.
I mean, it is very inspiring music.
Police in Pine Bluff, which is a city 40 miles south of Little Rock, were at the store on Tuesday afternoon as Walmart workers monitored Ashley Curry, who was dressed as a black and white cow, complete with four pink udders.
I don't know why that's the best part of that.
While under surveillance, 27-year-old Curry allegedly hid a package of Flonase in her pocket and headed for the store exit. As she departed the retailer, Curry was met by a police department patrolman and a Walmart loss prevention officer.
This story is so stupid. Because if you're in there and you're going to steal something, don't wear something that will make you immediately identifiable.
Yeah.
It's like, who stole it? Well... She's wearing a cow costume.
The one wearing the cow
the
costume.
The one wearing the cow costume. You know?
Bitch, I'm a cow. Bitch, I'm a cow. I'm not a cat. I don't say meow. Bitch, I'm a cow. Bitch, I'm a cow. Bitch, I'm a cow. Bitch, I'm a cow. Go moo.
En route to the security office, Curry reportedly tussled with Officer William Wiegand. As she sought to dart into a bathroom and remove the costume.
What would that have accomplished?
I don't know, I guess maybe...
You're like, ha! You're looking for a cow! I'm a human!
Yeah! Ooh!
Ooh, you know, a Trixie.
Trying to make moves.
Trying to make moves.
Yeah.
Once Curry reached the security office, that's when a female officer then conducted a pat-down for any other merchandise. At that point, that's when Curry stuck out her stomach and told Wagland that they could all go suck my pink cow udders. Yeah, bam.
Bitch, I'm a cow. Bitch, I'm a cow. I'm not a cat. I don't say meow. Bitch, I'm a cow. Bitch, I'm a cow. Bitch, I'm a cow. Bitch, I'm a cow. Go moo.
I feel like those cops have to laugh.
Yeah.
Right?
Curry was busted for shoplifting and resisting arrest and was booked into the local county jail. Asked why Curry was dressed in a cow costume.
She said, bitch, I'm a cow.
A police spokesman said no explanation was ever given.
Oh.
So.
Well, that's a letdown.
No description needed. No explanation needed. I'm a cow. So, that's the story.
Where do you think... Oh, man. I don't even know. You wake up in the morning, you get changed. You know, today's a cow costume kind of day.
Yep.
Like, what's going through your head?
Time to put on the old cow costume.
Put on your pants and your shirt, and you're like, you know, it's time to whip out the old udder. Like, what is it? It's just... And then you're wearing your cow costume, and you're like, I'm just going to steal stuff because I'm not, you know, such a big conspicuous target. I'm just blending in the background in my giant cow costume with my pink udders. And she tells people to suck her udders. I mean,
suck my udders.
God, that's impressive. I feel like they should just give her the floaties and be like, congratulations. You just got the biggest balls of anybody. You wear a cow costume to Walmart and then you shoplifted stuff knowing that they were going to recognize you as the cowgirl. And then you told the cops to suck your udders. I mean, that's amazing.
You know what? I'm actually quite impressed. Just take the flonase.
Just
get
take
out
the flonase.
Here.
Really? Is it that big of a loss? No.
All right. Let's get to our obligatory Florida story.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
A man told deputies that he had nothing hidden on him, but guess what? They checked beneath his private parts, and they found a sack of the powerful opioid fentanyl tied to his nuts.
That doesn't seem comfortable.
Yeah, why? Martin?
I don't know. That'd be... Like, why are there three? Oh, wait, no, those are drugs.
Why is there a second bag?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Martin County Sheriff's officials reported stopping a vehicle after noticing the driver, 28-year-old Giuliano Olivieri, wasn't wearing a seatbelt. Wow, that's what caused this whole thing.
Criminals are so dumb.
Yep. Investigators said that Olivieri and a passenger were moving around in a frantic manner. Olivieri was shaking, and his forehead was sweating profusely.
His friend was helping him tie the drugs to his nutsack.
Oh, that's probably what he was doing.
That's why they're moving around frantically. If they were already tied to his nuts, you're not moving around frantically. If you have to tie them to your nuts, then you're moving around frantically.
Oh, my God!
And he was probably like, yo, bro, I need help. You know?
I can't do a knot.
I can't. Yeah. I need, you know... Yeah, you know, when you're tying Christmas gifts, they're like, give me a finger.
Oh,
and you put your finger there so they can tie the bow. He's like, I need your finger. And he's like, what?
This is weird.
It's like, it's not weird. I need a finger.
Say you had yourself a man witch. Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, look, if you're going to be tying stuff to your nuts, I think that's a skill that you should learn to accomplish solo.
Yeah.
You can't depend on your friend to give you a finger to tie a bow.
Yep.
Oh, man, that's...
So...
How was that? I'm trying to... What do you do? Like, rubber band it to... That just seems... I don't know. Seems really uncomfortable.
So, Olivieri was brought to the county jail. On the way, a deputy said that if he had any contraband, he needs to disclose it. Olivieri said that he had nothing. But when they checked him at the county jail... when they checked him at the county jail... That's when they noticed that there was an item underneath his private parts. They took off his pants and they found a plastic baggie with a half a dozen capsules of fentanyl tied underneath his private parts.
Wow. It's a very thorough search.
Olivieri was arrested on charges including knowingly driving while his license was suspended, possession of controlled substance, and introduction of contraband into a correctional facility.
Ah. Tisk tisk.
That's a lot of words for your charges.
You should have hidden those drugs better.
Yeah. Put them up your butt like most Florida people do.
Right. If you're going to be dedicated to smuggling drugs, you might as well just stick it up your butt. Come on now.
If you're going to be a dedicated Florida man, you got to go all the way.
That's right. No half-assing Florida men. You got to go all the way. You got to go full ass. It's always a dumb. I always thought that was a weird phrase. Half-assed.
Yeah. So there's
what
full-assed.
Is whole? Yeah, full ass or whole ass?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be funny if you like said that to people like as an actual thing? Like, oh man, I never do a half-assed job. I always do a whole-assed job.
Well, Mike, you did a whole-assed job
yeah,
over here.
Exactly right. Good work. You gave it a full. You gave it a full ass. I don't like what. I don't know. Make it a thing, people. Hashtag full ass.
I got one last story here for you.
Okay.
And going to Ireland in this one.
Oh, sure. Lucky old Ireland. I don't know.
Okay.
That's all I can.
Everybody is a freaking leprechaun, according to Mike.
Oh, yeah. Come on now. Well, hey, look, man. General Mills perpetuated that stereotype. I'm just jumping on the bandwagon.
This might be a new stereotype here.
Uh-oh.
Ireland's only self-confessed Ghostbuster hermit priest has claimed that consecrated communion hosts are being stolen from Irish churches for use in satanic rituals. Yes.
Wait. I am so confused. The priest is a Ghostbuster?
He claims he's a Ghostbuster, yep.
And also a hermit.
Yes.
And that the communion is being stolen for Satan?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's rampant.
There's a lot of moving parts in the story.
Yes.
What does him being a Ghostbuster have anything to do with anything?
So, let's give you some insight about this guy.
Okay.
This is 64-year-old Catholic priest David Jones.
I don't think that he should say he's a Ghostbuster if he's Catholic. Aren't Catholics like a big no-no with paranormal stuff?
I don't know. But,
I always thought that was the thing. Like, you don't believe in ghosts because... reasons? Church reasons.
Question mark.
I was never really... had full understanding of that.
So, among his outrageous claims, he believes that Halloween has been hijacked by a dark source who wants to be honored.
Okay.
So that's number one.
It is a pagan holiday, isn't it?
Sure.
So, it's been hijacked. I mean, it's about scary, ghostly, demony things. How are you hijacking Halloween if that's what it already is?
Well, he doesn't...
That doesn't make any sense.
He thinks it's being hijacked by a dark source, so I don't know.
Does he mean like a literal dark source?
Yes.
Like Beelzebub himself is risen from the depths of hell.
Yes. To invade Halloween in
and
Ireland.
Steal the Eucharist.
Yes. Oh, wait, we're going to get to that.
Okay.
So that's part one of his claims.
Okay.
He also maintains that the communion wafers are being taken from churches and being sold on the black market.
Oh, yeah. Because people are just, you can buy them. We went over this once before. I looked them up on Amazon. You can buy them.
Yeah.
They are on sale. There's whole wheat versions. There's gluten-free versions of Jesus. You can get any type of Jesus you want.
What black market is there for this?
Right. Are there priests in like shady neighborhoods? Like, oh yeah, I got to get myself some Eucharist.
Yeah.
What?
Come here, baby. I got some Eucharist for you.
What? I got some Eucharist.
Yeah. This one's tasty.
Like that.
This one's gluten-free, baby.
I don't understand because you can buy them. You can buy them. We did this before. We looked it up online. And they are available for purchase. So I don't understand why they're stealing them to sell. Like, is there really a demand on a black market for Eucharist? If you're going to be giving money to some criminal, why don't you just buy it from Amazon?
Yeah, that's probably cheaper, too.
Right?
Oh, you know what it is? It's that damn shipping and handling.
Oh, well, that's why you got to invest in Amazon Prime.
Yeah. But to put the record straight, local police say that they have never received any report of Holy Communion being stolen from any of the churches in the area.
Obviously, it's not going to go through the police because of the dark forces that are at work.
Yes.
Guiding people. All right, these are evil times and evil spirits. So this is a... you know, a spiritual crime.
Yeah.
You know, it's not of this physical world. It's this spiritual manifestation, the The evil forces. I don't even know. That's why this priest has to be a Ghostbuster, because he has to fight against these spectral criminals.
Father Jones said in a recent homily, quote, "There is some strange dark element at work here that plays down other Christian feasts, but yet ups this one we call Halloween. We don't say Happy Christmas anymore. It's Happy Holidays. Yet, when it comes to Halloween, we celebrate this macabre with no fear. It's been hijacked by Lucifer, and it's a bizarre situation because there is a massive erosion of Christianity globally."
But Halloween is not a Christian thing.
Yeah.
This is what I don't understand. Halloween belongs to Satan, okay?
Yeah, let's have our holiday.
This is Satan's day.
Yes, okay? All right?
You know,
this is our time.
I don't understand what he's getting all upset about. He's like, oh, they're stealing the classic Christian holiday of Halloween.
Yeah.
The day of haunts and spooks.
You're supposed to dress like a nun. That's it.
Right, exactly. Exactly. This doesn't make any sense. And the Happy Holidays thing, that's another topic I'm not even going to touch, but I think he's a little off base on there, too.
Yeah.
But
he also believes that prehistoric places, such as the Hill of Terra, are sites where dark rituals are currently being held. He said that he went to one of these places in recent years, and, quote, "I saw satanic symbols chiseled out on the walls." Oh, boy.
Ooh, spooky.
Yeah. Now, to get into the ghostbusting stuff.
So this is where it comes back into the story.
Yes. He says that he also gets requests from people in Ireland to get rid of ghosts in their home. He speaks 8 different languages and rises at 3:15 a.m. each day to confront the ghosts.
He's definitely possessed.
Oh, he's actually possessed?
Yes.
The father's possessed?
I don't know. That's the weirdest part of the story. He gets up at 3:15 to fight demons?
Yes, and ghosts, yes.
What is this, Van Helsing? What is happening here?
I don't know.
Doesn't this sound insane to you? Doesn't this sound like this man is mentally disturbed?
He says in the newspaper article about him, quote, "I am the real Ghostbuster. Sometimes souls are stuck somewhere, and usually when I conduct a mass, it helps the souls to move on. I also stopped by a garage, and there was CCTV footage of things moving in the garage. There was definitely a presence there, which we have helped to calm."
That's such a random story to tell. It's like, by the way, I stopped by this garage. Now let me tell you about this garage over here, okay? It was very garage-like.
Yes, there were cars.
It had lots of cars.
Tools,
oil spots, some parts lying around, and there was also this TV, this CCTV, and it showed a ghost. I just wanted you to know
it
that.
It just showed things moving.
Oh, things moving.
Yeah.
Oh. Like how the wind pushes things.
Yeah, and no, it's a ghost.
Oh.
All right. That's
right. I forgot about the dark forces.
There's no wind in Ireland.
There's no... Not a single gust.
No.
Across the entire island. Wow.
So, so,
this
yeah.
This is very strange on very many levels.
He calls himself the real Ghostbuster. And he doubled down. He doubled downs on this whole stealing the communion thing. He has also said that now the hosts are given into the hands of those coming to communion. These people palm the sacred host and then sell it later on the black market.
So it's not even like fresh Eucharist. It's Eucharist that has somebody's grubby hands all over it.
Yes, and it's only one at a time.
Oh, God, that sounds... Oh my God. Dude, why would you eat that? You're going to die. Do you know church is like terrible for like illness and stuff? Think about it. Everybody's shaking each other's hands during flu season.
Oh, great.
And then they're like, oh, give me this Eucharist in my snotty hand that 12 other people have touched after sneezing because they're all old and sick. And then you take that Eucharist in your snotty old people touching hand.
Yeah.
And you sell it to other people. And then how do you transport it? You know, it's like going to get stale and gross. This sounds terrible. This sounds awful.
Father Jones wrapped up his homily and said that the success of some pop stars and celebrities are also proof of this scheme from Satan. God.
Get at. Is this going back to the stupid Lady Gaga's the devil thing?
Maybe. He says that they are a part of this satanic worship as well. So there you go. This is Father David Jones in Ireland, and boy, man, he's got some crazy theories for you.
He really does.
So that yeah. Is... yeah, so let's recap. All right, so number one, Halloween has been hijacked by a dark source.
I didn't even know it was available for hijacking. But
right,
whatever.
I thought it was already...
It was the dark source. It was, yeah.
Yeah. Two, it also is because we don't say Happy Christmas anymore.
Right. That is what has led to the real downfall of society, Rich.
Yes. Three, the communion hosts are being stolen by Satanists for their festivals and being sold on the black market.
One at a time, one by at a time. Way, because they're palming them at mass.
Number four, he's a real Ghostbuster.
Right.
And he saw one on a CCTV footage of a garage.
That's the most important point. That's point five. He went past a garage.
Yes.
And he saw things move.
And,
all right,
and part five, celebrities and famous people are to blame as well. So there you go.
Wow. This guy, he's got some ideas.
Yeah.
And they are very interesting.
To say the least.
And wow.
There you go. That's what I have for you this week in the non-fortune cookie odd news. Thank you, Ireland.
Yeah. Go back to making Lucky Charms. That's their main export, right, is Lucky Charms. That's what I've been led to believe. Lucky Charms.
If you're from Ireland and you don't like what Mike just said, please tweet at him at Mikey Costanzo.
What's the hashtag?
Lucky Charms.
Hashtag Lucky Charms. Okay. I like it.
All right. Well, before we wrap this episode up and you send your hate mail to Mike, let's go over what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
I've learned that I'm probably going to get a few tweets about people angry of the things I've said about Ireland.
Yeah.
But look, I mean, prove me wrong. It's an open invitation. Prove me wrong. I think the only thing from Ireland is Lucky Charms. That's what cereal.
You're forgetting Guinness.
Oh, that's true. Okay, two things: Lucky Charms and Guinness. That's not a great stereotype either, Rich.
What? What's wrong with Guinness?
Nothing. Nothing's wrong with Guinness. It's just all they're known for is Guinness and Lucky Charms, cereal and
soccer
beer.
Hooligans
and soccer hooligans.
Yeah. That's another one.
So there you go. Three things. Lucky Charms, Guinness, and soccer hooligans.
There you go.
Those are the only three things ever.
Yeah.
Prove us wrong. What was the hashtag again? Lucky Charms.
Yeah,
hashtag
Lucky Charms.
Lucky Charms. There you go. I also learned, what else did I learn? That anybody who claims to be a real Ghostbuster probably is not in the right frame of mind to be giving, passing down edicts about the dark sources of...
Halloween. Yeah.
I still don't quite understand what he was getting at. Did he think Halloween was a Christian holiday?
Well, I saw all the girls dressed up as nuns, so he thought that's what it was.
That's what it was. Yeah. Well, to him, I would say, stop looking at all the young girls dressed as nuns. You're a priest.
Yeah. Come on.
That's a no-no. I also learned that when people start threatening to bite your penis off, that's time for the threesome to end.
Yeah, I think that's a good call.
That's a good stopping point. You're like, you know what? It's been a fun night, but I'm going to have to go before this gets out of hand.
I'm going to have to retire from this sordid affair.
Yeah, yeah. It's a step too far.
Yes.
And finally, I learned that spiders are scary.
Yeah. Random spider
attack. And Rich has the power to summon... creatures from the odd news into this household, apparently.
Apparently.
Those are the dark forces.
Am I the dark force?
You're the dark force, yes. Well, you listen to Ghost.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's basically it.
That's it. That's a qualification.
That's it. That's your one qualification.
Yes. Sorry, everyone. Sorry. That was me.
Rich is the face of evil.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing? But yeah.
Yep.
Spiders. Spiders are scary.
And that's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
And there you go, folks. Another great episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast in the books. Thank you guys for listening to this week's episode. If you want to learn more about our little podcast, make sure to go to our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find interviews, videos, best bits, and a whole lot more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.
That's right. And we also have a SoundCloud page where we have the mini noodles, the best bits of The Crispy Noodle Podcast, shrunk down to a quick 2-minute promo that you can listen to easily on the go and share with friends and family the craziness that is The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. So many ways to get in touch with and share The Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters. Let us know what's happening.
Tell me why I'm wrong about Ireland.
Yep, tell
Hashtag
Mike.
Hashtag Lucky Charms.
Yep, tell Mike why he's wrong on that. Let us know what's happening. You can see our reactions to any sort of news that happens in real time with sports or any other movie news in real time. Let us know what's happening there. We're also on Instagram as well. If you want to see some pictures, go to at the Crispy Noodle Podcast and you'll find us there as well. Whew. All right. That will begin to wrap things up for this week's episode. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That's what we do here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast,
yes,
bringing you the latest in sports, entertainment, and odd news. But looks like our time is running out for this week, so we're going to wrap this up. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you guys next week for another crazy episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
See you guys.
See you guys next week. Later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hello, comrade. You are receiving transmission from Mother Russia. I am here to tell you, best podcast of 2018 is going to be Crispy Noodle Podcast, okay? This is the kind of thing that tickle my ball when nothing else will tickle my ball in Siberia, okay? Crispy Noodle Podcast is best thing for 2018. You listen to Crispy Noodle Podcast. This is the show that is tickling my balls. The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2018 is you must listen, okay? Okay, yes, good. Goodbye, comrade.